That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted in the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit, on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fiercely as I should. This is the word of the Lord.
Do turn with me to the Ephesians 6 reading, which is page 1177. You'll find it very helpful in our time together now. Let me pray first. Lord, as we come to your word and as we come to the end of this series, looking at the treasure that is found in the gospel and the way that it makes the Christian life distinctive, Lord, please help us now from your word to know you more truly. Please speak to our hearts as we read it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. During the Second Gulf War, there was an attack on the city of Basra by Challenger 2 tanks. And one of those tanks, which is the main battle tank of the British Army, one of those tanks found itself surrounded by enemy forces. It had had two of its sights knocked out, and it was immobilised as one of its tracks had stripped off when it tried to reverse through a ditch. It was stranded and surrounded. During the ensuing attack, that tank was hit by 14 rocket-propelled grenades and one anti-tank missile. The tank was recovered. All the crew were safe. And within 6 hours, it was operational again. It turns out that the Challenger 2 tank has the most phenomenal armour. It's called Chobham armour, and it is also then has a layer of reactive armour which blasts out the impact of missiles and rocket-propelled grenades. But imagine being in the crew during the attack. How terrifying. You can't hear very much, actually, but what you can hear is the dull thuds of every one of those impacts. It must have been terrifying, and the crew had a clear choice. They could sit in the tank, trust the armour, and wait for rescue, or in their terror, they could get out and run. It turns out the latter would have been disastrous. They would all have been massacred. But if they stayed in the tank, they were totally safe. There was nothing that could touch them. They weren't in any danger just so long as they kept in the armour. Well, in our Bible reading today, as we look at this series on the way that Christians are distinctive, what I mean by that is that non-Christians will look at us and say there's something different about them. We're going to look at one of the things which one of the ways the Christian looks different is because in the gospel, they find a deep resilience and strength. And that is what people will see in us as Christians. So let's look more closely at that so we reflect that more in our lives. What we find in our reading is that we are in a war. There is a battle, and that battle has an enemy, the devil. He's mentioned there in verse 11 and in verse 12, the devil's schemes. the powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And God's enemy, the devil, hates God, and he hates God's people. And he will do anything he can to oppose, disrupt, and undermine God's people. But how does he do it? What is his battlefield? Well, if you look at this passage in the book of Ephesians, it seems quite an abrupt one. You think, where does that come from? He's just been talking about the gospel in the first three chapters. Then he's been talking about the church in chapter 4 and 5. And then in five again, he starts talking about households, about family life and work life. Why is he suddenly switching to this battlefield? Well, that's because God is telling us through Paul that the battlefield that the devil uses is not just the stuff we sort of maybe think of if we watch one too many horror films like the occult or demon possession. His main battlefield is everyday life. The life of the church, the life of you going to your workplace, the life of you interacting with your family and your friends, everyday life. And that is because the devil isn't obvious. He uses schemes. We read that, put on the full armor of God, verse 11, so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. He's scheming. What our passage tells us is that there is a story behind the story of our lives. There is a reality behind the reality. There is a dimension behind the dimensions that we can see. And that is a spiritual battle where the devil rages against God and his people. And he uses in that battle suffering. He uses opposition to Christians in the world. He uses our wealth and our work. He uses our family and our friends. The devil is at work. He uses the circumstances which we think are just random or we think are just normal. He uses them all to try and undermine us. He can't do very much creative, but he can use what happens to us. So who is this enemy? Well, the devil's aim, first of all, is quite simple. And we see it in verses 19 to 20, but also in verse 15. 19 to 20, Paul is asking them to pray for him. Why? So that he will be able to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. In other words, that he will declare fearlessly the good news about Jesus. And then in verse 15, we're told that we are to be fitted with shoes that represent the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That means the readiness to tell others about Jesus. So what we discovered is the devil's aim is not to destroy the Christian. He cannot do that, as we're going to see. It's simply to stop the Christian doing what Jesus called them to do, which is to tell others about Jesus. We can be, he's quite happy for us to carry on being Christians, just so long as we don't tell anyone else. What are its tactics? One of the great passages in the Bible which open out the devil's tactics to us is the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower, you may know it, a grain of seed represents the word of God, the message about Jesus. But four different things happen. One is that the grain of seed lands on good soil and is fruitful. That's where the devil has totally failed. One, though, the grain of seed lands on the path, and the birds of the air, which represent the devil here, swoop down and take the word of God away from the person who hears it. That's when the devil makes us doubt God's word, or tempts us to change God's word, or tempts us to sift God's word so we take the bits we like and reject the bits we don't. It's probably the main attack the church is suffering right now in this country. Then there's the grain of seed which lands on the stony soil, and we're told that it puts roots down, but they're very shallow because of the rocks. And when the blazing heat of the sun comes, it withers. And that's where the devil tries to oppress the Christian and get them to run away and hide. Maybe through suffering, although often that simply makes the Christian stronger in my experience. Ridicule of the world, you can't really believe in that fairies down the bottom of the garden stuff, can you? You can't really believe in the biblical understanding of marriage, can you? That's so out of touch. There's ridicule and then there's guilt. The devil tries to con us into thinking that our sins are too great for God's forgiveness. So there is the oppression, but then there's also the distraction of the devil. This is the grain of seed, the grain which falls in, is soil that's got weeds, and the plant springs up but gets strangled and choked by the weeds. And there Jesus tells us that that is the pleasures of this world and the worries that come from pursuing those pleasures. You know, you want pleasures, and so you're worried about work. Why? Because work earns the money for you to buy your pleasures. You see the point? You become distracted by the things of this world. Do you know the number one battlefield the devil uses in your life? It's your bank account and my bank account. It's not the suffering. It's not the ridicule. It's those numbers that come in our statement. Why? Because we think that's where we're going to find our fulfillment, by buying the pleasures we seek. And that points us to another battlefield within the distraction, which is our desires. Our world has got it into its head that we should just follow our desires. We should let our desires define us. Actually, none of us actually believe that. All of us know desires we really shouldn't follow, but somehow the world, like it often does, gets messed up in its thinking. The Bible tells us, as we saw last week in Ephesians 2, that though our desire, though the fact that we desire is a good thing from God, our desires have become misdirected to what will not satisfy. And in Ephesians 2, it tells us that we become slaves to them, but then it tells us that there is another master who is over us before we become a Christian, and that is the devil, the spirit who is now at work in this world. Okay? So it's quite scary, isn't it? Every day you walk into a battlefield, and in that battlefield there is a frightening enemy, the devil. He is devious and he has powerful allies, the world and its attitudes, our own sinful desires, our seeking after pleasures, our desire for a quiet life. It seems scary. But the one message I really hope we go away from here today is the Christian has no reason to be frightened. And that is because of the armour of God we read here. And the first thing to come away from this is the impregnability of the armour of God. I told you about this amazing tank. And it's amazing armor, the Chobham armor. Well, that is like tissue paper compared to the armor of God. The point here is not that the armor of God will give us an advantage in battle, but this, that if you're wearing the armor of God, you cannot be defeated. How do we know this? Well, because it starts this, finally, be strong in the Lord. Remember that word strong there. And in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Literally, that word strong is the Greek word dunamis. But so is so that you can take your stand. That's also the word dunamis. They both mean, interesting enough, we get our word dynamite from it. They both mean powerful, strong, strength. So it really means, finally, be strong so that you can be strong against the devil's stands. Be powerful so that you can be powerful against the devil's schemes. But where does this power come from? Well, we read in that verse, the bit I just skated over. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We're not called to stand up and serve the Lord and face the devil's attempts to stop us in our own strength, but in God's. If we're in our own strength, we'll be like Moses was when he first met God in the burning bush. Do you remember? God calls him to do a huge battle, to go and lead his people out of the promised land, out from the hands of the most powerful superpower in the world, the Egyptians. And Moses says, no, I can't do it. And he tries to get out of it. He says, I'm not strong enough to do it. And basically God says, yeah, of course you're not strong enough, but I didn't ask you to do it. God, this is massive paraphrase, says he will lead his people out of Israel. And he's simply asking Moses to be used by him. It will be God's power who leads his people out. Moses is simply to be a tool. And that is true for the Christian. God doesn't ask us to go and battle Satan in our own power, but to do it in his strength, God's strength. And here's the point. If we're in the Lord, of course the devil can't touch us. Have you ever read Jesus' life? Every time he meets the devil's totally vanquished. He's left in a heap. So what does it mean to be in the Lord? Well, Paul then helpfully gives us the armour of God as an illustration of this. And the armour of God is about being saturated and clothed with the good news, the message about Jesus. That's what every piece of armour is about. It's like being a sponge in water. It both has the water in it and the water around it. So for us, the armour of God is about having the gospel within us and all around us. Truth, the belt of truth. The truth about God found in the gospel. That he is just but also merciful and gracious. Righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. That is, that the gospel, the good news about Jesus, tells us that we have been transformed if we put our trust in Jesus, from being rebels against God, enemies of his, facing his judgment, into being his family, the ones he protects, the apple of his eye. The shoes, well, that's the readiness to speak the gospel. The more we understand the good news about Jesus, the greater our confidence in the gospel and the more we're willing to share it. The shield of faith, that's the trust that because I am God's child, he will never abandon me. The conviction that it is not my strength that will see me through, because I know how weak I am, but it is his mighty strength that both created the world and then raised Jesus from the dead that will see me through. The helmet of salvation, the conviction that I am forgiven now and saved eternally, that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. And therefore that whatever the devil throws at me, he will never finally win. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible. The book that first showed me Jesus. And the good news that I could be saved and forgiven and God's child through him. We use it to counter the devil's lies. Why? Because that's what Jesus did when he faced off against the devil. Do you know, I was talking recently to people about the Old Testament. And they were saying, well, how can we believe it's the Word of God? I find bits of the Old Testament difficult. I say, well, here's the number one reason I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It's because Jesus believed that. And here's my choice. I could either choose to believe what Jesus believed, to be like Jesus, and to believe that the Old Testament is the Word of God and the rest of the Bible as well. Or I can choose to believe that the Old Testament isn't the Word of God, and therefore I choose not to believe in Jesus, to think that he was wrong. How does that work? Okay, so we have impregnable armour. Well, if we're wearing this armour, what will we look like? This whole series has been how we will look distinctive if we're a Christian, if we know the gospel. Well, the first thing is we will be fearless people. Paul is fearless in this passage. Did you notice this? Pray also for me, verse 19, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of Christ, the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Now, get this. Paul is asking that he will not be afraid to proclaim the gospel. And I guess that might be a prayer we all pray. We're sometimes afraid, often afraid, of proclaiming the good news, telling others about Jesus. But get this. He's praying that whilst in prison for doing that. That is real fearlessness. A fearlessness that will have no fear of the future. Psalm 112, verse 7, describes the Christian. They will have no fear of bad news. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Why is that? Because we know the outcome. We will be fearless because we know that whatever might happen, the end is certain victory. We know our power. The devil cannot beat us because we are protected not by our own strength, but by God's power. All the devil can do to the people of God is try to frighten them so that they will panic and run. And a vision of the future that has peace when it seems unclear, that says, whatever happens, I know I can trust my God. So we'll be fearless. Secondly, we will be tough. Notice this. There's a lot of talking about standing in our passage. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, verse 11. Later on in verse 13, so that you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. That is a toughness that says, I will not be moved. What will I not be moved from? I will not be moved from the gospel. A toughness that says, I will not be moved from the Bible, the Word of God, that says that though the world challenges that, and though many who are in the church, whether or not they're Christians, say that we can dispense with bits of the Word of the Lord, Word of God, or we can change it, or it's been overcome, we will not do that. Why will we not do that? Why will we not move from the Bible? Well, because it is our sword. It is our weapon. Because, to be honest, get this, you don't want to go into battle having swapped your sword for a stick of limp celery. It's a really, really bad idea. You want to go into battle with the full sword. You want to go into battle with the Word of God. You're going to be tough, but here's the thing. It is a gentle toughness. The world's toughness is aggression. I know that. I met that this week, actually, whilst having an interesting debate with somebody who'd parked in a disabled bay. But I also know that I too often turn to aggression. Why? Well, aggressive toughness is simply a sign of fear. That's what it really is. I get aggressive because I'm afraid. Jesus' toughness is different. It speaks of a deeper confidence in God's power. Listen to this in 1 Peter chapter 2. Wouldn't you like to be like this? To this you were called, Peter says, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. It says this, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. That's real toughness, isn't it? That's real toughness. Andy McNabb, whilst writing about his own testimony, says he's not a Christian. He was a SAS soldier. He said he was once asked who was the toughest person he'd ever heard of. He said Jesus. Because to not retaliate in that is amazing. Why did he do this? Let's read on in 1 Peter 2. It says, instead he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. His trust in God meant that he wasn't afraid. So here's a real challenge to us. Watch out for signs that you are relying on your own strength. And one of those signs will be you've got aggressive. Or that you've retreated. The sign that you are standing in the Lord is that you keep your stand, but you do it gently. So how do we put our armour on? Well, first of all, we're alert. That's what it says. Be alert, so that you will be alert against the devil's schemes. Look at verse 18. With this in mind, be alert. Recognise the enemy's hands. Recognise both his obvious attacks, but also the sneaky ones that are tempting you to lose your trust in God. Keep your stand. Look out for signs of retreat. In a church today in this country, there is huge retreat from the Bible. The Bible's teachings about all sorts of things. About what Jesus did for us on the cross. About how sinful we are. We're downplaying it all. About what marriage is. About what relationships look like. The church is letting go of the Bible, and we mustn't do that. But thirdly, don't let's put on our armour only once the battle has started. We saw that in our activity earlier. A shrewd, scheming general will launch a surprise attack. We need to be practised at wearing the armour of God. And we do that by putting it on every day in prayer. Not just in organised prayer, although that's really important, but in prayer during the day. Prayer is mentioned again and again. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. That's what it means to put on the armour of God, praying so that God will transform our thinking. I'm going to pray at the end of this sermon through the armour. Just a final word before I pray, though. It has been my great privilege as your minister and pastor over the years to walk with some of you through some really big struggles and suffering. And some of you have walked with me through some I've had as well. And what I'm always struck by in that is the difference between how the person who's telling me about their struggles feels about themselves and how I see them. How do they see themselves? They nearly always see themselves as weak, as poor Christians because they're struggling, as feeling battered, and as feeling useless to the Lord. How I see them is a warrior for the Lord in the midst of battle. If you are feeling crushed, if you are feeling battered, if you are feeling like the devil is just howling around you, and you are wondering how you will carry on, and you are thinking that you are a useless Christian, know this, no. You're simply in the middle of the battle. God has entrusted you with the heat of the battle. Do you know what? You are being a warrior for the Lord. You should be more worried if the battle's easy. It means the devil is untroubled by you. He's happy for you to carry on the way you are. So let's finish with a prayer. And in this prayer, I'm going to also put this prayer on my blog, so you can use it maybe as a pattern for how you might pray about through the armour of God. Don't use it like religiously, thinking it's a magical prayer, but do use it. But to be honest, let me make this clear, it's only a prayer that the Christian can pray. If you're not a Christian, you don't have the armour, and you are in danger. But if you are a Christian, you have this mighty armour. Let's pray. I'm going to say it with I here. Do just join in your hearts if you want to echo it. Mighty Lord, as I go into battle today, help me to stand strong in your power and not in my own skills, strength or ability. I go into battle with your breastplate of righteousness. I thank you that though I was once your enemy, I am now your precious child. I thank you that whatever happens to me today, I can call on you as my perfect, loving Heavenly Father. I go into battle with your belt of truth, the truth of the gospel that told me that I was a rebel against you, but also showed me the Lord Jesus, my salvation. I thank you that that truth is secure and bound fast. It will not slip or change. I go into battle with shoes of gospel readiness. I thank you that your gospel is not a sideshow or irrelevant to our modern world. I thank you that it speaks to my greatest need and the greatest need of everyone I meet today. I go into battle with your shield of faith. I thank you that I can totally trust you, that you are my rock, my refuge, and my salvation. I thank you that because I am your child, you will never abandon me. I go into battle with your helmet of salvation. I thank you that whatever I have done and whatever I do, the sacrifice of Jesus has paid for every one of my sins, and so I am safe. I thank you that nothing can separate me from your love in Christ Jesus, and that the devil will never finally win. I thank you that on the last day, I will stand. I go into battle with your sword firmly in my hands. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you that I first learnt about Jesus because of it, and I know him more and more through it. May I never lose my grip on it or exchange it for something else. Though at times I find it heavy in my hand or its blade seems dangerous to me, may I know that those very things are what give it power. May your Spirit use it in my hands to do your work. And at the end of today, Lord, in your strength, I pray that I will have made my stand on the battlefield without being frightened in any way by the shouts and hollers of the enemy. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.